We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave. Merry Christmas, and welcome once again to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. On today's program, just in time for the holidays, we roll back the clock to World War II and three very special treats for you. All Christmastime shows of some of the most popular programs on radio during World War II. From 1944, we'll enjoy Amos and Andy, the Chase and Sanborn Hour, starring, of course, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and the Jack Benny program from 1943. First, we'll lead off with Charlie McCarthy. One day in school, Edgar Bergen sketched the face that would launch 1,000 radio programs. He patterned Charlie's features after a kid who sold newspapers in the neighborhood. Later, he paid $35 to a carpenter named Theodore Mack and had the face carved in pine. Edgar Bergen and his dummy Charlie McCarthy were first heard on radio on Rudy Valley's Royal Gelatin Hour in December of 1936. Later, Chase and Sanborn decided to cash in on the act's sudden fame by bankrolling Bergen to his own show beginning May 9th of 1937. From December of 1944, it's the Chase and Sanborn Hour, starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler, sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On this Christmas Eve, we're happy to welcome as our guests a chorus of 1,000 voices from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station, which is our way of wishing you Christmas greetings. We, of course, are Bill Foreman, Ray Noble and his orchestra, the lovely Joan Merrill, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, folks. This is Charlie McCarthy wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy Bergen.
Merry Christmas, Charlie.
Well, hello, Mr. Mushy.
Well, I suppose you've written to Santa Claus, huh?
Yes, I wrote to him. Mm-hmm. Just to play safe, I sent a carbon copy to Bergen.
I'm no fool, you know. I don't know.
I suppose you hinted at what you wanted.
Brother, I hinted for 8 pages, I hinted. So every year, Bergen turns a deaf purse.
Oh, well, Charlie, why don't you be a little more subtle?
Well, that don't work either.
No?
Last year, I was subtle. I hinted for something with 2 wheels and a handlebar.
And what did you get?
A lawnmower.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a few words from your Yule log, Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, thank you, Don. My pal, my friend. You know, you're the nicest Don Amici I know.
Uh-oh. When you talk like that, I know you want something. What is it, Charlie?
Well, it just so happens you're right this time. I do need help. You see, Bergen said that if I would recite The Night Before Christmas this evening,
mm-hmm.
he'd give me a special Christmas present.
Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Have you memorized it?
Well, part of it, that's all.
Which part?
Just the title.
Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do?
Well, make Bergen forget about the poem, but not about the present.
Let me see. Wait a minute. I've got it. Why don't you say that after you learned it, a blow on the head made you forget it?
That's good.
Yeah, and I'll be glad to cooperate with a baseball bat.
That's bad.
Now, look, why should I help you? Why didn't you learn the poem in the first place?
Well, I was just too busy, Don.
Busy doing what?
One thing or another. I was playing hooky for a sick friend.
Oh, there you are, Charlie.
Oh, how are you?
Don, you're just in time to hear Charlie recite that lovely Christmas poem, The Night Before Christmas, by Clement Clark Moore.
I bet he wouldn't have written it if he had a memorized it.
All right, Charlie, go ahead and recite it.
Well, I can recite it much better, Bergen, from memory, with a book in front of me.
Yes.
I'll give the introduction.
No, John.
Fanfare, Miss Noble.
No, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now about to hear that famous classic, The Night Before Christmas, perpetrated by Charlie McCarthy.
Cut it out, fellas. This is so embarrassing.
No, now you go right ahead and recite it, Charlie.
No, please, Bergen.
Now, you mustn't be nervous.
Well, I've always been timid.
Oh, no. You go right ahead, Charlie.
No, please.
Charlie, go right ahead. Charlie. Now, you mustn't be nervous.
Well, I'm a bundle of nerves.
Charlie. Remember, no recitation, no present.
Oh.
Now, we're all waiting to hear about Santa Claus.
Well, I'll try. There ought to be one down there.
Yeah. We're waiting.
All right. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Santa Revere.
No.
Don't tell me, after all.
Yes, you're a little confused.
Well, I'm a bundle of nerves.
Yes, I know. Now, you start over again.
Yes. Under the spreading Christmas tree, a village Santa stands?
No. Perhaps if I just help you with a little start.
That would be good.
Yes. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house.
Egad, Bergen, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And believe me, it felt good to get rid of them, too.
Now, what's the next line?
Mm-hmm.
I see, what's the next line? Yes.
Oh, there's more, isn't
it? Yes, of course.
Well, it's all through the house, Let's see. Quiet, please. What's the next line, fella?
No. Not a... Remember what it is?
No.
Yeah. Not a creature was stirring, not even a louse. No. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Yeah. And that's the way it goes.
Yes. The stockings were hung...
Huh?
Stockings were hung... Where?
On the nail.
No. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes...
In hopes. In hopes that the laundry man soon would be there.
No. In hopes that Saint who?
Saint Vitus?
No.
Saint Bernard?
No.
Saint Paul?
No.
Minneapolis?
No, now wait.
Well, gee whiz, I tried.
All right.
I'm on the wrong track.
You certainly are.
I'm going to hate thyself in the morning for not knowing this.
Yes. Well, now you continue.
Yes. Let's see. Wait.
In hopes.
Oh, yes. In hopes. No coaching, please. Much.
In hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Semicolon.
Yeah, that's right. The children were nestled all snug in their beds.
Shoot if you must, this old gray head.
No. Well, I give up. Charlie, surely you know the part about Santa Claus.
What part?
Yeah.
The arms and legs?
No. About how he rides through the skies.
Oh, yes. He flies through the air with the greatest of ease. The jolly fat man in the red DVDs.
What is it?
Well, that part I'm a little rusty on, right in there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Especially right around there.
Yes, all right. Well, I'll tell you, it goes this way. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter...
What'd you do?
I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter.
Oh, yeah. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, what about the reindeers?
Oh, what about them?
Yeah. What were their names?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. What were they?
Well, there's Dancer and Prancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what are the rest of them?
That is Dancer and Prancer and... And, Dandruff and Blintzes.
No, no.
Dunder and Lightning.
No, no.
I give up.
Donner.
Donner?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Donner, Amici.
No, no.
I didn't know he made the team.
Well, he didn't. And what did Santa say?
What did he say?
Well, he says, on Dancer, on Prancer.
Oh, yeah. On Dancer, on Prancer. And what do you know? Prancer came in and paid $2.20 to show.
No. And what happened after that?
Santa Claus lived happily ever after. The end. Give me the present.
Well, not so fast. You know, Charlie, I don't believe you study that poem at all.
Well, I wasn't letter perfect, was I?
No, you weren't.
This being Christmas Eve, Bergen, I cannot tell a lie. I didn't study.
No, well, I'm disappointed in you.
Yes, sir.
But inasmuch as you were man enough to own up...
Oh, I did that, sir, yes.
I'm going to give you the present anyway.
Oh, thank you, Peggy.
And here it is.
Oh, thank you. What is it?
It's a beautifully illustrated copy of that famous poem, The Night Before Christmas.
Is that the present I get?
That's it.
This is Christmas, Bergen, not April Fool.
From December of 1944, it's been the Chase and Sanborn Hour, featuring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. In a moment, we'll turn back the clock to 1943 and a very special Christmas edition of the Jack Benny Program. As Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks, Dave, and welcome back again to Yesteryear. Next up from 1943, it's the Jack Benny Program. In 1932, Jack Benny was a top stage headliner. It was then when columnist Ed Sullivan asked him to appear on a CBS interview program, and the rest, as they say, is history. Jack picked up his own program, premiering on NBC in May of 1932, and was an instant hit. He later shifted to a Thursday night slot on CBS, and in 1933, his show was picked up by Chevrolet for a 10 p.m. Sunday night NBC run. In 1934, sponsorship went to Jell-O, the show was set for Sundays at 7 p.m., the time slot that Benny would keep for the rest of his long run. Sponsorship of the program passed from Jell-O to Grape Nuts Flakes in 1942. Then in 1944, Benny began his long association with Lucky Strike. In 1949, CBS scored the greatest coup in broadcasting, luring Benny away from NBC with a deal involving $2 million. On CBS, Benny continued in his 7 p.m. Sunday slot until May of 1955, his last live broadcast on radio. Reruns of the program continued until 1958. From December of 1944, it's the Jack Benny Christmas Program, here on Yesteryear.
Jack Benny Program, starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Tis the night before Christmas, and at Jack Benny's house, there are presents for all, even cheese for the mouse. Jack is up on a chair, then he's down on his knee. But you have to do that when you're trimming a tree.
Well, we're all through, Mary. It was nice of you to come over and help me trim the tree.
Well, if I didn't, you'd never get it done. Say, Jack, shall I put the snow around the bottom now?
Not yet. I want to see if the lights are working. I'll hold up the bulbs, and when I say ready, you plug it in.
Okay. Ready?
Ready. Pull it out! Pull it out! Pull it out!
you make me shut it off. Those lights were so pretty, especially those two blue ones that kept flashing on and off.
Those were my eyes. I must have been holding on to a bare wire.
Well, it's your own fault. Every time you fool around with electricity, something goes wrong.
It does. Now, I know plenty about electricity.
Oh, sure. Remember what happened 2 years ago when you fixed your doorbell?
What happened?
I pushed the button and it burned down Crosby's house.
Oh, stop exaggerating. Anyway, hand me that roll of tape. Give me that tape. I'll fix this bare wire right now.
Hey, yeah.
Thanks. When it comes to electricity, I know what I'm doing. See, when you see a bare wire, you just tape it up like this. And that way, it's insulated against outside elements. There, that ought to be enough tape. All right, Mary, plug it in.
Okay.
Pull it out! Pull it out! Pull it out! For heaven's sake!
What happened, Jack?
I taped my finger to the wire.
And that time, it is even prettier than before.
What do you mean?
Your nose lit up, too.
It did not. Let's get this tree finished before the gang gets here.
But, Jack, what about the light?
We'll have to let that go until later. Now, hand me one of those...
Oh, Mr. Billy!
What is it, Rochester?
I baked that cake like you told me to.
Good. Did you have enough whipped cream to spell out Merry Christmas on top?
Yeah! Say, boss, how many R's in Merry?
Two.
Oh!
So you better add one.
Add one? I better cross one out. I got three.
Well, leave it. It's better than ruining the cake.
Okay.
Oh, Rochester, will you please take these Christmas tree lights and fix them?
Fix them?
Yes.
I ain't fooling around with electricity.
Now, what are you afraid of?
I ain't gonna get hit by nothing I can't hit back.
Oh, Rochester. Imagine being afraid of electricity. Suppose Robert Fulton was afraid of electricity. He never would have invented the electric light. Would he?
Jack, you're thinking of Thomas Edison.
Edison? Well, then, what did Robert Fulton do?
He said, don't give up the ship.
That was John Paul Jones. Now, let's not start that again. Now, Rochester, please fix these lights, will you?
Okay, okay. Let's see. Now, in electricity, there's the electrons and the electrodes. Then there's the positive and the negative. But I ain't positive which one is negative. Then there's the atom. Now, the atoms are supposed to go from the positive to the negative. Or maybe they go from the electrons to the electrodes. Then again, maybe they go from Natchez to Mobile.
Rochester.
Now, as long as these atoms keep passing each other, everything is all right.
Yeah.
But when they meet halfway and start fighting, they're going to turn on anybody who tries to butt in.
Rochester, I'm not interested in the scientific details. I just want you to fix those lights. And I promise you, while you're holding the wires, no one in this room will turn on the switch.
I know, boss. While I'm holding the wire, you ain't going to turn on the switch. And Miss Livingston ain't going to turn on the switch.
Of course not.
But way up there, bolted down, is a little man sitting in a room with thousands of wires around.
What?
I don't know. He ain't going to do something just to break the monotony.
Oh, all right. I'll fix it myself. Go back in the kitchen.
Come in. I'm looking for Mr. Benny. Mr. Jack Benny.
Me?
Yes.
But you're a policeman.
Well, now, what do you know? This blue uniform has given me away again.
But, officer. Mary, say something.
But, officer.
Is that all you can say?
That's all you said.
Now, officer.
Mr. Benny, I hate to be doing this to you on Christmas Eve, but I have a complaint about you disturbing the peace last week at Moore's department store.
At Moore's department? Oh, that. Well, officer, that wasn't my fault at all. You see, first I had trouble with some crazy floor walker who kept hollering, stop breathing on my carnation. And then...
A little thought, please. I'm writing it down.
Yes, sir.
How many R's in carnation?
One. And then some silly guy kept following me around, asking me what I thought I ought to buy his wife for Christmas. I didn't mind it the first time, but the second time, but he kept hounding me. And just before the real trouble started, I was standing by the perfume counter, when all of a sudden, I was trying to buy some perfume for my sister Florence.
Here's your change, sir.
Thank you. Come on, Mary. Let's get over
there. I beg your pardon, mister.
Oh, it's you again.
What do you think I ought to buy my wife for Christmas?
I told you before, I don't know what you should buy your wife for Christmas. Figure it out yourself.
Figure it out yourself, he says. Figure it out yourself.
Fine Christmas, Barrett.
Look, I don't care what you buy your wife for Christmas. Don't buy her anything.
Don't buy her anything? We've been married for 12 years. What are you trying to do? Break us up?
Look, I don't know your wife. I've never seen your wife.
What's going on here? What's the trouble?
That man's been caught stealing somebody's wife.
What?
That's your age, you gray-haired wolf.
Now, wait a minute.
One time, let me through.
What's going on here? What's going...
Oh, it's you, my little Cupid with the droopy stoopy.
Now, cut that out and don't blame me for this because it's...
Stop breathing on my carnation.
I'll breathe on it as much as I like.
Stand up, everybody. The man is mad.
You're darn right on that. And this is all your fault. Mister asked me to buy your wife for Christmas. For all I care, you can buy her a dog collar.
What size?
What size? There you are, folks. See what a crazy guy is, and you blame me. Why, it's not my fault. I'm not the type that would start trouble. I'm a peaceful home... Oh, come on, Mary. Let's get out of here. And that's exactly what happened, officer. Believe me.
Hey, Charlie, it's amazing. It sounds like something you'd hear on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced it wasn't your fault, and I'm going to forget all about this complaint and be wishing you folks a Merry Christmas.
The same to you, officer.
And a happy new year.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Say, Mary, he was a nice fella at that.
Yes, he was.
Now, come on, Mary, let's put the presents around the tree before the gang gets here. Well, Mary, we got all the packages under the tree. It looks nice, doesn't it?
It sure does. Jack, if you're not going to use the Christmas tree lights, let's put on the candy canes.
Okay, here's the box, and you can... Hey, wait a minute. I had 12 candy canes, and now there are only 11. Where's the other one?
Don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you. I'm asking you.
All right, I ate it. Here's 10 cents.
Marty, I bet you'd be surprised if I took it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you sued me.
Mary, let's get this finished, will you?
Jack, you better pick up those lights off the floor before somebody steps on them.
Oh, yes. Now, where can I put them? Now, put these lights up here on the chair. This chair right here. And, Mary, here's Rochester's present. I forgot that. Slip it under the tree. Boy, will he be surprised.
But, Jack, how will he be surprised? You've got toilet water written all over the package.
Well, you've got to do that with Rochester. When he opens the package and finds a bottle, he never stops to read the label. Last year, I gave him a miniature ship and a bottle, and the mask stuck out of his mouth for 3 days. Every time I asked him something, he had to answer me through the crow's nest. Believe me, Mary, I know what I'm doing.
Well, Jack, I guess that does it. Tree's all finished.
Yeah. Gee, it looks swell. I'm kind of tired. I think I'll sit down for a minute and smoke a cigarette. Mary, have you got a match?
No.
Oh, well.
Oh, say, boss!
What is it, Rochester?
Are your socks dry yet?
My socks? I think so.
Well, people will be here soon. You better take them off the tree.
Oh, that's right. You take them off, will you, Rochester? I'm tired. I want to sit here a while.
Yes, sir. Hey, this tree looks all nice, but it's kind of dark. Oh, no wonder the lights aren't plugged in. I'll fix that.
Pull it out! Pull it out! Pull it out! For heaven's sake.
What's the matter, Jack?
I was sitting on the wire. As long as you're here, Rochester, give me a match.
You don't need it now. Your cigarette is lit.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Rochester.
Don't thank me. Thank that little man. I'm a bold man.
Rochester. I wonder how that guy at Boulder Dam knew I was... Come in! Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Same to you, Phil.
Hey, Jackson, that Christmas tree looks terrific.
Yeah, it is a nice tree, isn't it?
Not only that, it's grown about 2 feet since last year.
Phil, this isn't the same one. You know, Phil, I believe in the old-fashioned way of getting a tree. I know when you get up early in the morning and bundle yourself up warm, and you throw an axe over your shoulder and go out in the woods, you know, way out in the wilderness and Chop down your own Christmas tree.
Yeah, you're right, Jackson. Where'd you find this one?
In the lobby of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
You said it.
Timber!
Yes, sir.
Say, Jackson, you ought to see the tree I got in my house. I got it all decorated, and then right on top, I got a big red star.
A red star? Phil's supposed to be a silver star.
I know, but this way I get 5 red points. Oh, Eric, you humorist. You're the Mark Twain of your generation.
Mark Twain, Phil, it's Twain. Twain.
Wheelie?
Phil, after a gag like that, you're lucky Santa doesn't scratch you with his claws. Say, that was pretty good, too.
Don't bother sending us Cracker Jack, Mother. We're now getting corn by the tons.
Oh, I don't know, Mary. I thought that was pretty cute. Hey, Phil, what do you got in that package there?
Oh, I forgot, Jackson. It's a Christmas present for you.
For me?
Yeah, me and the boys in the band all chipped in and got it for you.
Well, thanks. I'll put it under the tree.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Open it up right now.
Okay. It was certainly nice of you and the boys to think of me. No, I really didn't. Oh, Phil, thanks. See, a beautiful turtleneck sweater. Gee.
Well, look inside of it, Jackson.
Inside?
Oh, Phil.
What is it, Jack?
A turtle. A fine present. Fix him. Imagine bringing me a turtle for anything, Barry. Come here, Phil. Phil, sit down on my chair.
Well, thanks, Jackson.
Are you comfortable, Phil?
Sure.
Good. Mary, push him.
Oh, Jack, you wouldn't dare.
Hand me the plug. I'll give it to myself.
Hey, Jackson, what about my present?
Yes, sir, you are. You'll get it. It's a surprise. Mary, watch him jump. 1, 2, 3. There. Phil, don't you feel anything?
No, why? Well, what about the surprise? What's the matter?
We're having a little trouble at Boulder Dam.
Mary, I can't understand what went wrong. Phil, stand up a minute.
Okay.
Let's see. There must be something wrong with this thing. Pull it out! Fine thing to do to a guy on Christmas Eve.
Well, it's your own fault for trying to play a trick on Phil.
Oh, so that's it, eh, Jackson? Trying to give me a hot seat.
Oh, it was nothing, Phil. I was just trying to have a little fun. Pull it out! Pull it out!
Jack, that's a doorbell.
Oh. Come in. Hiya, Don. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Don. Larry. Merry
Christmas, Don. Hey, I'm glad you fellas were able to come over.
Well, say, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Larry.
Well, last night I went to the movies and I saw a picture called Hollywood Canteen.
You did?
Yes. And you want to know something?
What?
You were in it.
Yes. I know, kid. I happened to see the picture.
8 times.
What?
On the days he can't go, he sends me.
Rochester.
Between you and me, that seat never gets a chance to cool off.
Never mind.
Well, say, Jack, I saw the picture, too.
You did, Don? Well, Don, tell me, how did my violin solo go over?
Well, Jack, this will amaze you.
Hmm?
When you started to play, the man next to me got all excited and enthused.
Oh, I get it, Don. I get it. You don't have to.
Okay, Mr. Benny, I got the cake and coffee on the table.
Good. Come on, fellas. Let's have a little bite.
Oh,
Take it easy, fellas. There's enough for all.
Yes, folks, you don't have to crowd. Just line up to the right and have your ticket stub ready.
Rochester, this is Christmas.
Oh, yes, excuse me.
Now, fellas. Hey, who can that be? Come in. Well, I'll be darned. What a surprise. Andy Devine.
Well, who'd you think I was? Frank Sinatra?
No, Andy. Andy, your voice and figure are both a little huskier, I think. Hey, Andy, there's Don Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Hello, skinny.
Hello, fatso. It's the first time I ever heard a pot call a pot a pot. Say, Andy, how's your mother?
Oh, she's swell, Buck. Hey, you know, it's nice the way you think of her every year.
Oh, I always call my friends around the holidays.
Well, you don't have to worry about Ma. Buck, she wouldn't think of buying her Christmas cards from anyone else but you.
Oh, Rochester, give me that bottle of champagne.
Here you are, boss. Shall I open it?
No, I'll open it myself. Mm. Here, Rochester. Rochester, fill the glasses.
Yes, sir.
Hey, fellas, how about a toast?
Hey, huh? I got one.
Go ahead, Andy. A toast? Go ahead.
Here's to you, Buck, Mary, Phil, and the whole gang. We've been friends for a long time, and I hope it always stays that way. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Andy! Merry Christmas!
Jack, can I give a toast, too?
Sure, sure. Go right ahead, Mary.
A Merry Christmas to everyone, everywhere.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody! Hey. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Hey, Jack, how about a toast from you?
Me? Yeah, I'd like to give a toast too, Don. This is a toast to a lot of fellas I met in Africa, Europe, and the South Pacific. And to all you other boys out there I wasn't lucky enough to meet. Fellas, this is Christmas Eve, a time for happiness and good fellowship, a time when our hearts should be humble and forgiving. But this is war. I've seen what you boys are up against on both sides of the world. I know the Christmas spirit must seem a very distant thing when you're crouched in a muddy foxhole or wading through the half-frozen slush. I know, too, that there's very little to remind you of Christmas inside a stifling tank or in the icy cockpit of a B-29 6 miles above Tokyo. Maybe you feel it is something you lost long, long ago, because the only Christmas lights you see are the bursts of shells or the flashing path cut by tracer bullets. But Christmas is a spirit that springs from within and is so strong it transcends even the ugly scenes of a battlefield and fills the soul with a passion to defend the things that are right and just. You are the ones who have gone to the ends of the earth to preserve the freedom you know belongs to every man. To hasten the day when all mankind can once again live in dignity and in peace. So here's to you, fellas. Merry Christmas, and God bless you all.
A Merry Christmas to everyone, everywhere.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody! Hey. Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
From December of 1943, it's been the Jack Benny Program. In a moment, Amos and Andy, as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio. Where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
Next, it's the Christmas show of Amos and Andy from 1944. The Amos and Andy show was an outgrowth of a pre-network program, Sam and Henry, which evolved from a show airing on Chicago's WGN. When Amos and Andy first went on NBC for Pepsodent in August of 1929, the gags of Sam and Henry were continued with deepening characterization. At first, Amos and Andy was a late-night show, airing at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Later, it moved to 7 p.m., where it continued as a 15-minute nightly serial until 1943. Amos and Andy, at its peak, may well have been radio's most popular show ever broadcast. People who lived through the early 1930s may still remember the marquees on movie houses announcing that the film would be stopped at 7 o'clock so Amos and Andy could be piped in. In 1943, the 15-minute version ended forever, but in October of that year, Amos and Andy returned as a half-hour weekly variety program for Rinso, broadcast on Fridays until 1948. By 1954, the characters were called the Amos and Andy Music Hall, where they played popular records on CBS and did some short Amos and Andy skits between cuts. Even in this watered-down format, the program continued until November of 1960. From December of 1944, it's the Amos and Andy Show, here on Yesteryear.
Hello,
It's the day before Christmas. Morning crowds are milling about Lenox Avenue in Harlem, doing their last-minute shopping. Andy is out with Amos' little girl, Arbadella, on their annual Christmas tour of the department store windows. Right now, they're looking at a little doll in one of the windows.
Yeah, that sure is a pretty doll, Arbadella.
Yes, that's the one I wrote now Santa Claus to bring me. The daddy said I wrote the letter too late. You see, I only wrote it 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, maybe your papa ain't got the money. I mean, that ain't giving Santa Claus much time. You gotta write him before that.
Isn't she pretty, though, Uncle Andy? Daddy said Santa Claus would bring her to me next Christmas.
Oh, so, you see, that'll give him more time.
We're having a good time today, aren't we, Uncle Andy?
Yeah.
I like being out with you.
Yeah, and I like being out with you, too, Arbadella. But I guess we got to be getting on home now.
You think Mommy and Daddy will be home yet?
Oh, sure. They said they'd be home at noon.
Uncle Andy, let me just look at the doll once more.
Oh, sure, honey.
He's beautiful. He's a talking doll, too.
Yeah, talking doll. They have the best ones, all right.
Here's a pretty dress he's got on. And when Santa Claus brings it to me next year, I'm going to make her a lot more pretty dresses. Pink one. I can hardly wait till next Christmas. It's only a year.
Well, Danny, you sure got a lot of Christmas presents here, Robert.
Yeah, Lightning, I want to get them all wrapped up now, so I ain't got to do it this afternoon or tonight.
Now, what has you got in this box here, Miss Andy?
Well, go ahead, look at it. Just some handkerchiefs that I'm going to give that gal friend of mine, Evelyn Bennett.
Evelyn Bennett?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Miss Andy. These have the letter C embroidered in the corner.
Yeah, well, last year I was going to give them to that gal Carmen that I was going with, but we busted up.
Well, with the letter C on there, I don't see how you can give them to Evelyn Bennett.
Well, I thought of that, too. So for the last 3 days, I've been calling her Cookie.
Look out, Miss Andy. Here comes the King sees Miss Van Porter.
Yeah. Come in, fellas. Come in.
Well, hello there, Andy. Lightning, Merry Christmas.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Well, see you wrapping all your Christmas presents, Andy. Anytime you want me to turn the back and I'd look, just say the word.
Well, I ain't bought you a present, King Fish.
Oh, you ain't got around to it yet, huh? Well, don't worry about it, Brother Andy. You still got time. You know, me and my wife was talking about the same thing just this morning. She said to me, she said, George, do you think any of your friends is going to give you that bass hope you got in the corner window at the Globe department store? And I say, honey, you mean the blue one with the red sash, man? She say, yeah, you know it's more $3.95. And I say, that's the one size 40, yeah. Funny thing how me and my wife talk back and forth, ain't it?
Yes, and you could use a new bathrobe, Kingfish. That one you greeted me in yesterday certainly was a mess.
Yeah, it was.
You shook hands with me right through the pocket.
Yeah, by the way, Andy, I just thought of something. Tell me this. How big is that door to a boarding house?
Why?
Well, I'm coming up to see you tomorrow morning with a pretty big package. Well, if I can't get it in there, though, we can always take the door off the hinges and get the thing in there for you.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of embarrassing because I was broke and I can't afford to buy nothing for you.
Nothing at all?
That's right. Say, what time do you expect to be up with that big package?
Well, on second thought, I might not be as early as I expected to be.
Well, I'll be there all morning.
Well, don't wait for me, Andy. You see, I got a lot of packages to deliver. I might not get around to you till February or March.
I know there'd be something like that.
Oh, Miss Andy, I've been trying to wrap one of these packages here. This is a hard one.
My, what in the world is that?
Oh, that's a little toy automobile. I got that for Amos Jr. You wind it up, it scoots around the floor, backs up and everything. Hey, wait a minute, I'll show you.
Yeah, let's see that. Well, look at that thing go, will you?
Hey, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. You see the way the thing went around the corner there and everything?
Well, look at here, will you? It's even got a license number.
Let me have it, Henry. I want to shoot it around the floor again myself.
Well, I can wind it myself, King.
Well, wait a minute. Let me do it, Henry. I asked you for it.
Yes, but I picked it up first.
Well, now, wait a minute, sir.
Now, don't break it, fellas.
Yeah,
don't break it.
Hand again. I'll work the thing.
King, think I'm going to work it. Let's not be silent about this.
All right. But I'm next on the thing.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it, fellas. Hold it. I'm going to put it back in the box now before it gets broke. And I got things to do around here, too. You children better run along home now.
Yeah, by the way, you coming over to the gathering at the large hall this afternoon, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Looking forward to that thing.
Oh, yeah, you know, all the boys is getting together over there. The Christmas spirit, going to have refreshments, slapping everybody on the back, all that stuff. Have a little present for each member, too.
Yes, the whole gang's going to be there. See you then, Andy.
Well, come on, Henry. Let's go. So long, Henry.
Yes, good day, Andy, my friend. And may the Yuletide season bring you much Noel. And besides that, a very Merry Christmas.
Miss Andy, I have wrapped in this package of colored crayons that you bought for Arbidella.
Yeah, wrap that up. This ain't much of a gift to give a kid, is it?
Well, it ain't bad, Miss Andy.
He might not even like crayons. I don't know.
Yeah, but he might and he might not. After all, you don't know what you like.
The funny part of it is, Lighton, I do know what you like.
Well, even if you do know, it don't make no difference because you is broke. You ain't got no money to buy nothing more.
Yeah, that's what's troubling me. I is broke. I ain't got a cent. I say, Lighton, what time is it?
Nearly 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. I think I'm going to walk down to that department store on the corner. I'll see you later.
You want to see me?
I guess so. Is you the gentleman to do the hiring here for the department store?
That's right. My name is Simmons.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if you need any extra sales up here for the last-minute rush this afternoon. I would work hard.
Well, we did need extra help up until this morning, but I think we can get through the rest of the day with the salespeople we have.
Oh. Well, thanks just the same, Mr.
Oh, wait just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you can do it.
What's that?
Well, one of our Santa Claus's helpers is called home. His wife was taken ill suddenly, and we could use somebody to take his place. You think you could do it?
Be Santa Claus's helper?
That's right.
Well, I ain't never done it before, but... Oh, sure,
I can do it. Fine. Now, if you come down to the fourth floor, I'll give you your Santa Claus suit and whiskers and tell you just what you're supposed to do.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Brown, that Santa Claus suit seems to fit you very well.
Yes, sir, that's all right.
Here's your seat, right here.
Yeah.
You just have the children to come up one at a time, and if you run into any difficulties of any kind, just call the floor walker.
Yes, sir. If I have any trouble, I'll call the floor walker.
Well, good luck, Santa.
Yeah. Well, I'll get started. All right, Sonny, you was first. Come right up here and sit on Santa Claus's lap. That's the boy. Now, tell Santa Claus, what you want for Christmas?
I want a jet-propelled plane in a tank.
A jet-propelled plane in a tank. What's your name, Sonny?
Oliver Smith.
Yeah, well, Oliver Smith, huh? Is you done been a good boy all year?
Yes.
I could have seen that, but I didn't ask you. Yeah, you is a nice little fella. I bet you drink up all your milk at every meal, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
You drink part of it, though, don't you?
No, I don't drink none of it.
None of it, huh?
No, I ain't never gonna drink none of it either.
Oh, floor walker. Can you come over here, floor walker?
If Santa Claus brings me the jet plane and the tank, I'll drink my milk.
Never mind, floor walker. That's a good little boy, Oliver. You just hang up your stocking and everything's going to be all right.
Okay, thank you, Santa Claus.
You're welcome.
Am I next?
Yeah, you was next. My, what a nice little girl. Sit right here on my knee. Now tell me, what is your name?
Henrietta Lewis.
Well, that's a pretty name, too. And that's a pretty little dress you got on there, too.
My mother makes for me. See the ribbon?
Yeah, that's good, all right. Henrietta, you is one of the sweetest little girls I don't ever see. Now, tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
A football.
A football?
Yes, it's a boxing gloves and a drum.
Boxing gloves and a drum? Well, wait a minute, dear. What does a little girl like you want with them things?
Oh, I don't want them for myself.
Oh. Well, who does you want them for?
My little brother.
Your brother?
You see?
He's sick in bed and he couldn't come down here.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I just wanted to make sure he gets a present.
Well, now, that sure is sweet of you, Henrietta. And I can tell you right now that Santa Claus is going to take care of him.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, honey. All right, who's next?
Oh, hello, Santa Claus. Hello, that's Santa Claus.
Well, Gabby Gibson, what are you doing here in the toy department?
Just came up to get my new girl a present.
In the toy department?
Yeah, she got the mentality of an 8-year-old child.
Oh, listen, Gabby.
But seriously, Andy, I'm just out Christmas shopping.
Yeah, well, look. On that table over there, they got some dolls that when you squeeze them, they say, Mama.
That ain't nothing. I go around with one, and when I squeeze her, she says, lovely, lovely.
Well, who is the next one now?
Hey, quit telling you I'm next.
Hey, no fighting there, boys. Now, no fighting.
Oh, I tried to push it ahead of me. I'm next, ain't I, Santa Claus?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, Sonny, Joe. What's your name?
Percy Carter.
Percy, huh? Hmm. And what do you want for Christmas?
A machine gun. Do I get it?
Well, yeah. I'll see what I can do about it and all that stuff.
I want a watch, too, with a picture of Humphrey Bogart in it.
Well, I'll work on that, too. Who's next?
Oh, wait a minute. I ain't through yet, Santa Claus. I want to ask you something.
Yeah, well, what is it, Percy?
Last year, I asked you for a pair of seats, and I didn't get them. What goes?
Well, you got a lot of other stuff, though, didn't you?
Yeah, a necktie, some socks, and a couple of handkerchiefs. Who wants that stuff?
Yeah, well, better luck this year. All right, who's next?
Wait a minute, I got more stuff to ask. Tell me something, bud. In that workshop up north where Santa Claus, they sell his toys.
Yeah, what about it?
What kind of country's that?
Oh, country? Well, it's just nothing but ice and snow and all stuff like that.
No trees and nuts.
No, just ice and snow.
And where does Santa Claus get the apples and oranges and bananas he puts in the stockings every Christmas?
Well, it's, Oh, floor walker. Hey, floor walker.
Oh, forget it.
All right. Who's next?
Thanks, I am Santa Claus.
Oh, step right up, Sonny.
Yes, sir.
And what's your name?
Jimmy Watson.
And what is it?
A baseball glove, a punching bag, a basketball, a watercolor set, a ring toss, a fountain, a Mickey Mouse wristwatch, a cowboy suit, a telegraph set, a bicycle bell, a flashlight, and a baby sister.
You want a baby sister?
Yeah. How can I get one?
Oh, bro, Walker.
A little worn out, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I is a little tired, all right. I ain't never talked to so many kids in all my life. Gee, they is cute, though.
You did very, very well. All the children seemed very happy, and the parents were just standing there beaming.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We certainly appreciated having you here this afternoon.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it, too. And, of course, like I told you when I made the deal with you, I've done it for a special reason.
Yes. And here it is, Mr. Brown. I have the stock boy take it out of the window. The talking doll.
Andy has just arrived at Amos's with an armful of packages.
Well, come in, son. You look like Santa Claus with all that stuff.
Yeah, how is you, boy? Boy, that tree looks good. Let me lay these packages down here on the floor.
Yeah, put them down there. You're making the rounds, huh?
Yeah, making the rounds, spreading good cheer. Boy, that is a pretty tree. We got a lot of lights on there, too.
Yeah, well, we just decorated that tonight. Reuben and Mama is going out to make a few things, take a few things to some poor people that they heard about in town.
Yeah.
They'll be gone about an hour.
Yeah, well, that's good, yeah.
Say, Andy, why wasn't you over with the fellas at the lodge this afternoon? Everybody was looking for you. It was a swell party.
Yeah, well, I must have clean forgot about that. Well, Amos, I'll leave these packages here.
Wait a minute, not all of them.
Yeah. Here's one for Rudy. Here's one for her mama.
Oh, Andy.
Here's one for you. And there's little Troy Otto for Amos Jr.
Oh, gee, Andy.
And here's a package for Arbadella. And look here. Be sure and tell her that this one is from Santa Claus.
See, that's a nice-looking package there for her, all right.
Oh, just a little something I picked up.
Are you sending him Santa Claus this year, boy?
Well, that's nothing. I see a lot of stuff over at my place from your house.
Well, like I told you, Andy, it ain't much, but we want you to know that we love you and we're thinking about you.
Oh, listen, Amos. I feel better this Christmas than I ever felt. By the way, when are you going to open up your packages?
All the kids get up early, and we all get up and start early Christmas morning. And now, don't forget, you promised that you're going to be here for Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That sure is nice of you, too, because the other two dinners I was thinking on going to didn't work out so good.
Yeah. Well, we want you here, Andy, so count on it now.
Yeah, well, that's swell. Well, I got to get going, son. Got to drop in on 2 or 3 people, say hello to them.
Well, okay. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, and thanks a lot for the present. It sure was nice of you.
Oh, nothing at all. Say Merry Christmas to Ruby and her mama for me and the kids.
Yeah, going back with Arbadella now.
Okay, so long, Amos.
So long, Andy. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Well, honey, he is right in bed there.
Daddy, can I turn on the little radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Well, just for a minute or two, darling. I'll snap it on for you. There he is. Now, we let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby.
The music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Well, let me straighten your covers out a little bit. Did you say your prayers, honey?
Mommy heard my prayers. She said she went out, Daddy.
The Christmas choir continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Well, now, get under the covers, honey.
Daddy, could we get some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. Is going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
I could sing the Lord's Prayer with Mommy. She's been teaching it to me.
I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
It means an awful lot, and with the world like it is today, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before.
But what does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
The Lord's Prayer. Well, darling, I'll explain it to you.
Oh, will you, Daddy?
Now, you lay down and you listen.
Oh.
Now, the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, that means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can dwell. And then it says, Hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. That means, darling, as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then earth will be like heaven.
That would be wonderful, Daddy.
Give us this day our daily bread. That means to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, love, and courage, which will make us strong for our daily task. And after that, the next line says, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You remember the golden rule, honey?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want others to do unto us.
Oh.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything that's bad. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That means, darling, in all the world and everything that's in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Your mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we know it, that, my dear girl,
is the real spirit of Christmas.
That's good, Daddy.
Well, now I guess I ought to cut off the radio so you can go to sleep.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, sweetheart.
Daddy, will you leave the radio on while I go to sleep?
All right, I'll leave it on and you can listen to the Christmas music.
And now, here again are Amos and Andy.
Friends, on behalf of our sponsor and everybody here, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
You know, folks, there's a wonderful thing about this Christmas spirit. It seems to bring people closer together. And it's around this time of the year that we feel particularly close to you folks out there that's been listening to us.
And so, folks, from a couple of very grateful fellas, we sincerely wish you a very Merry Christmas. Good night.
Good night, folks.
From December of 1944, it's been the Amos and Andy Show. And that's all we have time for on this edition of Yesteryear. Be sure to join us again next week at this time for more from the best of the golden age of radio. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery. Listening nightly to our favorite shows, radio. I miss you, Sodio, Vodio, Dodio, Do.